Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of Saturday, July 15. I'm Carl Diorio, and it's just me this week. We've got John Barker away on holidays, and Joel Marshall, my colleague, is unwell and not in the office today. Apologies for last week as well. We didn't have a podcast due to all sorts of issues, so it's a bit of a rough trot for the podcast at the moment. We're going through a bit of a winter hiatus, but I'm sure we'll hit form heading into spring. But we're here today to preview some big racing action from Caulfield, Rose Hill, and also a nice meeting up there at the Sunshine Coast with the Queensland Cup. We'll start with Caulfield. They've got a 9-race card headlined by the Monash Stakes, which is race number 7 on the card. It's a Group 3 race over the 1,100 metres. And geez, it's an intriguing race with the reappearance of Lord of the Sky back from a long-term injury, and also the fact that a stud deal fell through. So we see Lord of the Sky back on the racetrack. Aaron Lynch to have his first ride at Caulfield, and he draws barrier 1 on Lord of the Sky, the noted speedster who does look the likely leader. Of course, we've got Stupido, who's trained by Mick Kent to be ridden by Luke Nolan, is quite a short price favourite. And Robbie Lang quoted as saying that Lord of the Sky, he is ready to go, but that last 100 metres, he might be vulnerable. And you do suspect that if there is a chink in Lord of the Sky's armour, that Stupido might be the one to expose it late. The other interesting runner in that race is Chocolate Holic, who is having his first run over the 1,100 metres, and he's having his first run for Darren Weir, be ridden by Craig Williams. Now, this is his a really interesting runner from the perspective that he split Vega Magic and First Among Equals at his most recent run over 1,400 metres. No doubt Chocolate Holic is going to be better over further, but it just depends how forward he is, and obviously seeing him in the mounting yard and how he parades and how forward he is will be absolutely vital in Chocolate Holic's chances. Look, I'm with Stupido at the moment. I think he looks the safe option. He does sprint well fresh. He's 4 from 6 first up. He's got a wonderful record at the distance, and if he just reproduces that sort of performance we saw 4 starts ago in the 2016 Goodwood, you think he would be going very close to winning. So that's the Monash Stakes race number 7. My best bet on the program, or at least a horse I'm quite keen to back at this stage, is race 3, number 3, Moonlight's Choice, trained by Darren Weir and ridden by Craig Williams. A good winner 2 starts ago at Swan Hill over the 1,200 metres over Simply Splashing, and then last time out at Caulfield over the 1,100 just had no luck whatsoever. From the top of the straight right to the winning post, it really didn't get clear, and it finished a length and a half away from the winner, Unique Lovely. I think Moonlight's Choice, she's just one of those fillies that gets back in her races. She has an explosive turn of foot, but she needs to have a bit of luck getting through the field. She's not the sort of filly that you can produce wide and let her unfurl a big run. You've got to kind of ride for gaps in the straight, and that's therefore, she can be a bit unlucky in her races. But as a result, that's why you get the price with Moonlight's Choice. She's about $4 or $5, and I think that's a reasonable price with her. The other one to look out for, I think, is race 5, number 7, Vassal. This is trained by Chris Waller to be ridden by Dwayne Dunn. Around about $10. I thought the first up run over 1,800 metres behind Ravi Pole was quite good. It got back in that truly run race. It was no closer than 3 and 4 wide for much of the trip, and in the straight it was the widest runner, and I really loved the way he found the line over that final 200 metres. Only the winner, Ravi Pole, actually had a quicker final 200 metre section. Those who remember the race, Ravi Pole got a nice run up along the inside and burst through late to win, but Vassal was always wide, so plenty of merit to that performance. His second up record's quite strong. Any given the ground will enhance his claims, and Melbourne weather this morning has been quite strong in terms of strong rain. So, look, you're probably looking at a track that's on the worst side of the good 4 and on the better side of soft 5 tomorrow, at least as a starting point. And I think those sort of conditions will play in the hands of Vassal, race 5, number 7. So those are my selections there for Caulfield. We'll now move across to Rose Hill, where we've got a 9-race card, and that's headlined by the feature sprint race of the day, which is the ATC Winter Stakes. It's over the 1,400 metres. It's held at listed level. an interesting race featuring the last start winner, Gold Symphony, who won the Civic Stakes over 1350 a fortnight ago. He jumps up 2.5 kilos in the weights. I think his stablemate can beat him, though, and that's number 13, Extensible. Now, Extensible also ran in the Civic Stakes. It did draw a wide barrier, had a tough run, and then finished down the track in midfield. But the runs prior in the Dark Jewel and the Dane Ripper, which are historically quite strong mares races, were quite good in finishing fifth both times, about 2 lengths from the winner on each occasion. So I've got Extensible on top to beat the stablemate Gold Symphony. For third, number 8, Oxford Poet, who ran a nice race first up behind Calander at Rose Hill. And then for fourth, number 3, Burning Passion, who has won his past two starts. Now in the care of Mark Noonan, taking over from James Cummings, who of course is now Godolphin's main trainer. My best bet for the card is race 8, number 5, Zorkan. Formerly raced in France, he's a really nice 1600 to 2000 metre type, and he does appreciate any given the ground, and he should get that tomorrow. His first up win at Flemington was excellent as a $31 chance, and he just missed out behind Bullish Stock last time. Certainly not disgraced. Bullish Stock ran okay at Flemington last Saturday. My value selection is race 9, number 12, Queen Misty, who's trained by Les Bridge. Fitter for the two runs this campaign in midweek mare's grade. I thought her last start effort was excellent. She was 3 wide, no cover outside the speed, and fought on quite well on that occasion. She was only beaten ahead by 7th check. Look, she's up against the males on the weekend, but I think with added fitness up to the 1500, look for Queen Misty to hopefully be settling in the second half of the field, maybe just one off the fence. And she's got a big finish on her. If you go back to her run at Gosford 4 starts ago in the Group 3 Bell of the Turf, she was quite unlucky behind Imposing Last. She might not have won, but she certainly should have finished somewhere in the placings. And, well, you'd be looking at a mare with black type in a field of older horses who were probably needing further or fairly limited in life. So I think Queen Misty does appeal at an each-way price. Race 9, number 12. For what it's worth as well, Joel Marshall actually makes Queen Misty his value bet. Race 9, number 12. His best bet in the card is race 5, number 9, Faith's Encore. We move on to Morpherville Parks, where they've got an 8-race card. And Ryan Belfer, I'm tipping he's going to have a nice weekend, Ryan Belfer. Of course, he's going to be represented in Melbourne with a couple of runners, and he's got Belf's Choice, race 6, number 12, as his best, as one of his main runners. I've made it my best bet of the day. Belf's Choice ran well, I thought, first up at Balaclava against the pattern of the day before winning and beating a clear attack last time over the mile at Morpherville. He now races over 1,400 metres on the Parks track, third up. Jamie Carr retains the ride, and I think will be hard to beat. The Frey and Counterspin do look the main dangers in that race. But to Belf's Choice, it did run quite well in Melbourne earlier this season. So I was a little bit surprised to see the $9 offered in benchmark 70 level last time. There's no $9 about tomorrow. He's about $5 Belf's Choice, but he should still run well. The stablemate in the last, I don't mind as well. Race 8, number 2, I love what she brings. She's around about $34. She was first up from a 13-month layoff last time. She only beat one runner home, and I didn't think the run was all that bad. Her fitness gave out the last 200 metres. She's down in grade back to benchmark 64 level. She's up to 1,400. She may need another run. But those who remember a win on Adelaide Cup Day back in 2016, which was only 5 runs ago, she beat Grande Rosso and Rivers Lane, her former stablemate. So she's got the class. It just depends if she's fit enough. And at $34, she might be worth $1 or $2, or at least including in the last leg of the quaddy, just for peace of mind. So that's Morpherville Parks. We'll move on now to the Sunshine Coast. And the Sunshine Coast, they've got an interesting card. It's a 9-race card, plenty of horses engaged at the Sunshine Coast, and it's headlined by the Queensland Cup over 3,200 metres, a rare 2-mile feature on the Australian calendar. And many of these having their having another crack at the Queensland Cup. I think Pop and Scotch and Emerald City might have already run in this race before, but Joel Marshall, he's gone for number four, My Dimitine, who is drawn the outside barrier, but has Brisbane's premier jockey, Jeff Lloyd, aboard. One of the favourites in the race, along with the Chris Waller-trained Richard of York. Joel's best bet is race three, number three, Top Tone, who's been unplaced from all four starts this campaign, but he believes can get the job done. And he's a value bet. There's race five, number seven, Cashing Up, which is fourth up, placed at his first two starts this campaign before finishing down the track last time. He just didn't get clear room at a key stage, and Joel believes he's suited by the step up to 1600 metres. So that's the Sunshine Coast, and we'll move on to Belmont, where they've got stakes racing. They've got one listed race, the Bovine Stakes. This is a 1000 metre sprint, and first among equals there is the $2.50 favourite. He's carrying 61 kilos, and every other horse in the race is on the minimum of 54. Despite that, Joel believes first among equals will win. He's got number seven as It's It as the main danger, and certainly that's how the market sees it as well, with first among equals at 250 and It's It around about 380. And he's got then Pretentious Chant and Dendee in for third and fourth. So 1, 7, 10, and 4 in the Bovine Stakes for Joel. His best bet is race six, number seven, Nelson's Flight, who is an on-pacer and does draw favourably for Willie Pike in barrier four. His value bet is race two, number eight, Pearl Trade. And Pearl Trade was winning, was a last start winner, I should say, over this track and distance. And I believe, from what I'm reading here, is a swooping type. So look for Pearl Trade to be getting home over the top in that second race at Belmont. We'll close off proceedings going across the Tasman to Trentham and T. Rapa. Joel's done the form there as well. It's very, very wet. We're dealing with a heavy 11 at Trentham with an eight-race card. The first three races are jumps events, and then they've got a steeplechase, a feature steeplechase over the 5,500 later in the day. So half the card is jumping. His best bet is race four, number three, Malacanto. This horse was a winner two starts ago. Rosie Myers will ride, and this is a race over the 1,200 metres. His value bet is race six, number five, the Oyster Man. And that is in the Wellington Steeplechase, worth $75,000. So pretty good racing there from Trentham for the jumps enthusiasts. In terms of those with a mind to the flat, T. Rapa does appeal. It's on a slow seven, so a slightly dry surface. The last two flat races are particularly good, big fields and plenty of depth. Joel's best bet, however, is race six, number one, Francis Duke. And his value bet is race three, number nine, Grand Duke. So, Francis Drake in race six, number one, and Grand Duke, race three, number nine, at T. Rapa. So that's Joel's bests and value from New Zealand. Of course, we've got great racing action, not just in Australia and New Zealand, but also overseas in England and France. We've got the July Cup with Caravaggio on Saturday night, so that's definitely worth setting the alarm for, at the very least, the recorder, and catching a replay there of Caravaggio. He might be heading out here for the Everest, so definitely worth watching. And obviously there's some really great racing in France as well. The Grand Prix de Paris coming up overnight on the 14th of July, a significant day there in France. And also some feature racing in Ireland with the Irish Oaks on Saturday night. So make sure you keep an eye on the global scene as well, because there's plenty of great racing going on this weekend, if it's not happening in Australia. And for my $20 bet, well, my $20 bet this week, I'm going to go with, I'll go with Vassal at Caulfield. Why not? We'll make it race five, number seven, Vassal, trained by Chris Waller, the B, written by Dwayne Dunn. Hopefully gets a more economical run, and under those circumstances, I think he's a great each-way bet in race five. So that's it from the Winning Post Preview podcast for this weekend. Hopefully we'll be back next week with a smoother podcast with Joel Marshall and myself back in the chair. But for now, happy punting, and we'll speak to you soon.